Welcome to the Security Doctor podcast with me, Dr. Rich Diston. You've tuned into episode one of a new series called How to Save the Security Industry. Let's get into it. There is a lot wrong with security as an industry and as an occupation. I think we all know it. Now, as my network and engagement grew, I came to realize that the problems we face here in the UK security sector are shared by practitioners all over the world. From education to hiring to organizational behavior, there are systemic problems that reduce our corporate value, reduce our capability, and reduce our potential as practitioners to have healthy, rewarding careers. Now, I've often been accused in the past of just being a rabble-rouser, a security activist, someone who is happy to shout from the sidelines about what is wrong, but not really committed to helping. Listen, I've been trying to improve the security sector here in the UK for years, but after wasting years on epic failures of numerous special interest groups, working groups and committees, I've decided to do it on my own terms. This is what the whole security doctor thing is actually about. The problems that the sector faces cannot be fixed by the same level of self-interested Kool-Aid drinkers that created them. If you don't accept that you're part of the problem, you'll never be part of the solution. I was going to call this series Why the Security Industry Sucks to keep it in line with the other two series that I'm currently running, Why You Suck at Security and Why Your Security Sucks, but it just didn't sit right. While those episodes are a tongue-in-cheek poke at the common problems that security people and their organizations face, I wanted this to be a little bit more positive, a little bit more serious. So let's talk about how to save the security industry. For the first episode on how to save the security industry, I'm going to focus on definition, since this is usually where things start going wrong. I'll also lay some ground rules for the discussion. The term security is problematic because it has so many distinct sector variations. Can we say that a security officer on £9 an hour with a level 2 education is in the same industry as a CISO on £100,000 with a master's and half a dozen certifications? Can we say that a close protection operative on a task in a hostile environment is in the same industry as a penetration tester? Before we have any meaningful discussion on how to save the security industry, we need to understand what we're talking about and what we're not. I'm going to refer to the security industry as a sector that provides one of three distinct levels of service or product. The first seems obvious, but it's protection, and it's the lowest level of the industry. To be clear, these are the practitioners of the security discipline who actively protect at operational level. These are the boots on the ground, the hands on the tools. Here we can include anyone in the UK regulated security industry. So we're talking about your guards, your door supervisors, your CCTV operators, and so on. Beyond the licensable sector, I'm also including IT people who operate solely in the protection of information assets, whether we're talking about patching systems or securing code. I make no distinction here between the people who patrol the fence line from the people who patrol the digital fence line. The key distinction here is that at this level of service, security is an operational activity. I'm including investigators in this as well. I'm not including bailiffs before anyone asks, since they don't protect, they collect. If we're here to include people who collect money in a conversation about security, we need to include the mafia. And we're not doing that. The second service level is advice. This is security management. People operating on this level are not directly involved in the actual protecting. Instead, this is more intellectual. These people advise organizations on the best ways to deploy those operational resources to ensure that they maintain more secure conditions. Now, obviously, we're talking about security consultants here in the main. I would also include at this level penetration testers, who report against vulnerabilities and therefore advise. I'm also including security educators in this level, even though that is a can of worms that we'll get into later in the series. Note that people who work as managers in the operational level I do not consider to be in security management. Just having the title security manager doesn't mean you are in security management if you run a team of guards. Security management is about helping the organization to protect itself, and running a security team does not fit this criteria. To be considered in security management for this conversation, someone needs to be operating at a strategic level. Think of the level that creates organizational security policy. A person running an operational team rarely does this, in my experience. the last level to be included in this definition of the security industry, for this conversation anyway, is the provision of security-related equipment. I'm specifically referring here to equipment and software that provides or supports a safeguarding, response, or monitoring function, not the people who sell uniforms, stab vests, and torches. This level includes CCTV and alarm systems, naturally. I'm including them in this conversation for completeness, but since I have limited exposure to this side of the industry, I'm not going to be talking about it in any great detail. I only make a point of talking about what I know about, most of the time anyway. I would suggest that security consultants, air quotes around that one, who travel to far-flung parts of the world to train rebels in insurgency and military tactics, aren't really in the security industry. I have no problem with it, but it's not this conversation. For me, these services and organizations border on the private military sector, and I'm not qualified to discuss that either. It doesn't really matter, since what we're talking about doesn't really apply to them anyway. So when I talk about the security industry, I'm talking about anyone who provides security equipment, software or services, or who operates either at operational or management level for financial reward. I think that covers all areas of practitioner involvement. Then I'm going to include organizations that claim to have a vested interest in the activities of any of these practitioners. Here, I will refer to trade membership organizations and certification bodies, as well as companies that provide either operational security, security management, or security monitoring equipment and services. It might be a stretch here to include training companies, since they are more appropriately in the education sector. But if they focus on the delivery of security-related qualifications and certifications and nothing else, they're included too. So for this conversation, this is the industry. Now let's talk about what I mean by security. I make no distinction whatsoever between physical security and cyber security. I think that we need to start breaking down these silos instead of creating more with our terminology. So when I talk about security, I'm talking about the whole concept of protection as a function. I'll specify which subset I'm talking about if necessary, but in general, I think we all need to start talking about security in a unified way. When we consider it in these terms, we make it easy to overcome the differences that exist in the many aspects of security. We either directly provide protection, we provide equipment or services, or we provide advice. If we can agree on that, we're good to go. I better explain what's not included and why. I am not including FM managers in the security industry. Just because they manage a guarding contract for an estate or building, they aren't in the security industry. They're in FM. I've had arguments on social media with FM people who think that just because they run a security contract, alongside cleaning and others, that they should have their security opinions respected. These people have no security qualifications, a handful of health and safety ones, and still insisted on arguing with me. It's like me arguing with a barber about how to cut hair and thinking my opinion is valid just because I have some. I'm not including UK awarding organisations, the businesses that provide formal certificates for security courses. They're firmly in the education sector with their own regulator. I'll be getting to education later in the series. Now, before anyone gets excited, I am not including the Security Industry Authority. For anyone not in the know, they are the industry regulator here in the UK for a lot of the security operations areas, such as guarding, CP, and CCTV monitoring. You may disagree with me here, but let me explain. I'm going to state that I don't think that it's anyone else's job to clean up and save the security industry. For the people who endlessly whine on about the SIA, remember that they exist because we couldn't straighten our shit out for ourselves. We had the chance and the government had to step in and do it for us. Naturally, they created a typical self-serving quango that doesn't understand the sector and has no passion or commitment for it. They've demonstrated in my direct experience a total aversion to thinking rationally, and they lack the spine to do what needs to be done. They're petrified of upsetting the sector, and even more scared of doing something that could get them sued. They're a clown shop and don't feature in any way in my proposed solutions for improving the sector beyond any peripheral participation. We know we can't count on them, so let's not. If we get it right, they'll be out of a job, and if that isn't motivation enough to improve the sector, then I don't know what is. So that's the definitional discussion out of the way. We're clear on what I mean when I discuss the security industry, who I'm including and who I'm excluding. In these episodes, I'm going to clearly describe the problems that I see plaguing the industry, but only to give context to my proposed solutions. I'm going to do my absolute best not to hammer the organizations that have failed to do anything but line their own pockets at the expense of security practitioners. I do that stuff elsewhere. This is about understanding the mess we're in and proposing a way of moving forwards for all areas of the industry. This first episode in the series is free to everyone, but the rest of the series will only be available in full to my subscribers over at The Surgery. It's £5.99 a month, and I'm told that's too cheap for the ideas on offer. Now, if that's not for you, that's cool. You can still get partial episodes free, but you're going to be missing out on most of the content. If you enjoyed this podcast and the ideas being discussed, I'd appreciate you sharing it with your networks. Start a discussion about it. Let's spread the good word and turn security into a respected occupation. A review of this podcast would help too. Thanks.